Talking tonight about this issue of boldness. Boldness. You recognize that little animal, little tame animal there in front of you? We're going to look at a passage in Proverbs today where it says the righteous are bold as a lion. But I want you to turn to Acts chapter 4 tonight. We're going to get right into the Word. You ever heard of George Patton? Well, he was a very famous World War II tank commander. And he said this, he said, quote, plus more, he was more than that. He said, courage is fear holding on a minute longer. If you give in to your fears, you're on the path to defeat. If instead you stand strong in spite of your fears, you're on the path to victory. And we must never forget that we are not in a battle alone. With the power of God on your side, on our side, we cannot be defeated. George Patton. Well, little context here, Acts chapter 4. We're going to read, let's pray now. Father, we commit this time to you. I ask, Lord, that tonight would be a special time, a blessing. And God, that you would open our hearts to this issue of boldness. Let us match what you expect in Scripture in Jesus' name. Amen. Context, Acts chapter 3, you have the lame man healed. Acts chapter 4, the leaders of Israel are saying, what's up, men, disciples? So they put them in prison. 5,000 men are saved as a result of this. And then these rulers ask the disciples, hey guys, what's the authority? What's your authority in all of this? And then Peter speaks. He basically says, there's only one person under heaven that'll get you to heaven, guys. And he's the source of all physical and all spiritual healing. He's the only one that can deliver you from the awful results of sin. His name is Jesus. So what was Peter saying to them? He's saying it's not in the name of Moses that we're doing all these things like you Jews. It's not in the name of David or Abraham or Jacob or Abrahamic promise. Now look at verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. It's like jaw drop. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. So I think even though these religious leaders disagreed vehemently with the message, they were in awe of the boldness of Peter and John. So what does it say? It says they saw the boldness, they saw the boldness of Peter and John. And that boldness actually is a word, it's a Greek word, which means they saw the outspokenness. The frankness, the bluntness, the confidence of Peter and John. They saw that these men had freedom to speak. I like what D.L. Moody said. A young preacher came and said, well, why is it you get so many people that come and hear you preach? Remember what he said to that young preacher? He said, you light yourself on fire and the world will come to watch you burn. So the world came to watch these disciples burn for Christ. And I want you to notice again what the people observed, which made them realize they had been with Jesus. Verse 13. Now when they saw the what? Boldness. And then it says they perceived they were unlearned and ignorant men. What on earth does that mean? What do you think that means? These people saw their boldness and then thought, they're stupid. Unlearned. Ignorant men. Where'd you get your doctorate? Well, I don't have one. Where'd you get your master? Don't have one. Where'd you get your bachelor? Don't have one. Where'd you get your Bible Institute degree? Don't have one. It says when they saw that these men didn't have all their degrees, that's Scott paraphrase, they marveled. It's like, what's going on here, guys? And took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, let me just remind you, it doesn't say when they saw the doctrine of Peter and John, they marveled. It doesn't say that, does it? It doesn't say when they saw the politeness of Peter and John, they marveled. It doesn't say when they saw the good spirit. It didn't say when they saw the love. When they saw the empathy. What does it say? When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were ignorant and unlearned men, they marveled. That word marveled means they came to the realization that these men had been with Jesus. I think one of the things that impressed the Jews about the disciples, the apostles, is that these men were not afraid to speak out for Jesus. I mean, you chase this all the way through Acts. Acts 4:31, they spake the word of God with boldness. I mean, what impressed Barnabas about Paul? What drew Barnabas? Acts chapter 9, verse 27. It says, Barnabas took him, brought him to the apostles, declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way that he spoken to them, to him, and how he had preached boldly in Damascus in the name of Jesus. That impressed Barnabas. And he was with them coming in and going out of Jerusalem, verse 29. And he spoke boldly in the name of Jesus, the Lord Jesus, and disputed among the Grecians, and they went about to slay him. They said, oh, this guy's bold, let's kill him. Chapter 13, verse 46. Paul and Barnabas now wax bold. Acts 14, verse 3. It says, long time therefore abode they speaking boldly, there's that word again, in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Paul, Acts chapter 18, verse 26. It says he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. That's when Aquila and Priscilla heard him. Okay, now, by the way, that's not Paul. That's Apollos. What drew Aquila and Priscilla to Apollos was that he was bold in preaching the words. But they took him aside and said, hey, by the way, there's some things you're missing. The resurrection of Christ, you're missing that. And by the way, you're missing that the Holy Spirit came to dwell in Christians. Well, Apollos embraced that, became a more effective preacher. Philippians 1, verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope, here's what Paul said, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. I read an illustration, today, this is three recruiters were to address high school seniors. Each recruiter represented a branch of the military, the Army, the Navy, the Marine Corps, and it was a big gathering in the, like a chapel service, they were only given 15 minutes apiece. Well, the Army and Navy recruiters got carried away, so when it came time for the Marine to speak, he had just 2 minutes left. I've been in that situation. He walked up and stood utterly silent for a full 60 seconds. That's half of his time. And then he said, quote, I doubt whether there are two or three of you in this room that you would even stand a chance in the Marine Corps. But I want to see those two or three immediately in the dining hall when we're dismissed. Well, he turned smartly and sat down. When he arrived in the dining hall, guess what? There was a crowd of students interested in the Marines. And the recruiter knew that the commitment cannot take place without recognizing that potential for difficulty and that boldness that's needed to stand. So how would you characterize a bold Christian? Just give me some. How would you characterize a bold Christian? Just say it out. Just say one thing. Not afraid to stand up for God. What else? A bold Christian. He knows the word. She knows the word. A bold Christian. Looks for opportunities. No fear. No fear. strong moral character in relevant circumstance. What's another? Bold Christian.
Stand up to family.
Anybody else? Passion. No fear. Let me give you some biblical characteristics of a bold Christian. Just run through these quickly. It's not going to be long tonight, but we'll have some discussion. First of all, with a bold Christian, he's got a relationship with God. A relationship with God. Ephesians 3:12. In whom we have boldness and access with confidence by faith of Him. That's how we get boldness. That's how we have access with confidence. By our faith of Him. What does that mean? It means our relationship with Him. Now you think of the fact that the moment you received Christ, something very supernatural happened in you. The Holy Spirit came to dwell in you. It says that in Acts 1:8, you shall receive power. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses, on and on. So the Holy Spirit gives boldness, gives passion. So, something about a bold Christian. He has a personal relationship with God. By the way, why do people get so passionate about a branch of the military? Like, hoorah, hoorah, or... Why is that?
Connection.
Or they served. They served in there. They had a personal relationship. Why is it somebody gets so wound up? I mean, wearing colors, getting their tattoos in the back of their head, all these things for a NFL team. Because they've invested. What's that?
Passion.
What else? They've invested. They bought the regalia. They've been to the games. Maybe they've interviewed players. Maybe they got, you know, autographs. Maybe they played football. But there was an investment in it. So you think about this. And so they're quick to talk about their team. Why are people so quick to talk about Jesus? Because they know Him. There's a personal relationship with Jesus. Let me give you another reason. Because of a clear conscience. A clear conscience. You say, what do you mean by that? A clear conscience means knowing that there is not one person that can point a finger at me and accuse me of wrongdoing that I've not made right. Or knowing that there's nothing between me and the Savior. All known sin is confessed. Interesting verse, 1 John 3:21. Says, beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence toward God. Same Greek word as boldness. Parousia. Outspokenness. Boldness for the Lord. Same word in Acts 4:13. If I do not have a heart that condemns me, God says, then I'll be bold. So when I'm living a righteous life before God, God promises me boldness. I mean, like the picture right there on your PowerPoint. It says, the wicked flee when no man pursueth, but the righteous are bold as a lion. You think about this. Wicked people become wimps spiritually. Spiritual wimps are normally wicked people. Not always. And there's one attitude in the life of a person who's confident. It's relationship with God and others. He's dealt with shame. He's dealt with guilt. He's standing before God. Every known sin is confessed. He's right with the Lord. One attitude in his life. And that's boldness. He's righteous or bold as a lion. By the way, there's one attitude in the life of a person who's not confident. It's relationship with God and others. Shame or guilt. Or timidity. God's not given us the spirit of fear, that timidity. All right, number three. What's true of somebody that's bold? A proper understanding of self. Some people call this self-acceptance. Accepting yourself the way God made you. Knowing that when God made you, He didn't make junk. But He made you for a purpose. Knowing that He who hath begun a good work in you will perform it. Until the day of Jesus Christ, Philippians 1:6. I like what Jesus said, Matthew 22, verse 37 through 39. Sometimes we miss this. The first commandment, love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, right? This is the first and great commandment. Now, verse 39, Matthew 22. The second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as you love Jesus. Is that what it says? Interesting. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You ever thought about that? I'm not talking about pride, that self, that narcissistic. I'm talking about accepting yourself, loving what God made you to be, embracing God's values for who you are, what you are, and why you are. All right? That's a proper understanding of self. When God made you, He didn't make junk. He made you for a purpose. And you embrace that purpose. You have a proper understanding of who you are and who you're not. Right? Number four, something characterizes a person with boldness is love, agape love. 1 John 4:18 says there's no fear in love. That word love, agape love, is total giving, sacrificial love. There's no fear. No timidity is the thought there. No wimpiness when you really have total giving, sacrificial love. But perfect love casteth out fear. Why? Because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect or mature or complete in agape love. You're bound by fear. Oh, I'm afraid if I say something, people are going to get mad. Oh, it's like this one coach I'm working on, and I mentioned it Sunday. You know, he's a Christian. He's out on the soccer field. He's watching us pray with the students or the young people before our games. And he says to me, oh, I'm just afraid to do that. That's what he said. He says, I'm a Christian, but I'm afraid to do that. His son, one of the refs, came over and says, you know, we just really watch you. He said, my dad is afraid to do that because he's afraid what the parents will think. I'm thinking, there's no fear in love. If you really love those young people, if you really love God, perfect love, complete mature love will throw out, cast out that timidity, that fear. Because fear is torment. You're bound by that fear. He that feareth is not a mature Christian. Is not made perfect in love. Number five. Another reason a person's bold is because they have documentation. You're not going to be bold for something you think is opinion. And why did the disciples die for Christ? Because they knew he was raised from the dead. They knew what he said was true. They watched it. They'd touched him. They'd spoken with him. You know, when you have proper documentation of what you believe, you're not going to be afraid to stand up for it if these other things are true. That's why 2 Timothy 2:15 is so important. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Here it is. A workman that needeth not to be what? Ashamed. That's fearful, timid. Rightly dividing the word of truth. That's why we study God's word. Proverbs 15:28. The heart of the righteous studieth to answer. But the mouth of the wicked poureth out evil things. If you're a righteous person, God says you will study how to answer. You study God's word. Proverbs 16:1. The preparations of the heart in man. It means preparations of the heart belong to you. And the answer of the tongue is from the Lord. God expects us to document what we believe. Proverbs 15, verse 28. Here it is. The righteous. Oh, I gave it to you. The heart of the righteous studies the answer. Do you study to answer? Do you embrace the things you learn? Are you having your time daily in the Word? Or are you satisfied to be, as I was sharing with someone recently, maybe in a message, that many of us Christians are like those little baby birds in the nest. And the mama robin comes in with a worm and pre-digested. You were sharing with Sue. And stuffs it down the throat of those babies. All right. And many of us are just like that. The only time we get fed is when somebody's pre-digested the word for you. The preacher, the teacher, and stuffed it down your beak. Many of us are like puppets. You know, arm up, down, somebody else pulling our strings. And we've never taken serious the fact that we need to document what we believe. We need to know God through His Word. Well, here's another reason people are bold. Faith. What's faith? Faith is the ability to trust God to work things out in the midst of all circumstances. The reason the Christian is bold is because he knows God knows the end result. And it's good for him. All things work together for good to them that love God. Proverbs 29:25. In fact, turn to this verse. Turn to Proverbs 29:25. Interesting verse. I want us to look at it. I think we mentioned it once, but look more depth. Proverbs 29:25. What does it say? The fear of man bringeth a snare, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be safe. Now, before we really look at the word snare, etc., I've known young people, fear of man, who attempted suicide because their friends thought it was cool. Yeah, there are suicide clubs. To be really cool, you commit suicide. And so you got young people that will, I mean, they'll do whatever the crowd says. Why? It's the fear of man. Why do people not stand for God? Fear of man. And what's the cure for the disease of the fear of man? Well, but whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. The cure for fear of man is confidence in God. I mean, you know that God's word won't return void when you share it. It will always accomplish the purpose wherefore God sent it. You know that God's word is like a hammer that breaketh the rock in pieces. You know it's sharper than a two-edged sword. You know that we know the will of God because of the doctrine of God. You know those verses. And when we know the Word of God, we have confidence in God. Hey, yeah, have you ever seen somebody bound by their peers? Fear of man. I mean, they won't laugh at a joke unless their friends laugh. Or their friends laugh even though it's a bad joke, dirty joke. They laugh at it with made fun of. And they'll just sit like their peers. They sit like them. They dress like them. They listen to the same things, the same music. They watch the same programs. They look at the same pictures. They read the same material. They won't pray unless their friends do. They'll sit in a service. They won't testify. They won't pray. They won't do anything outwardly for the Lord because of the fear of man. He's sure, dead sure, not going to be spiritual in any area of his life and unless his friends approve of it. They start talking about being spiritual. Oh, by the way, I'm a Christian too. There's a young lady, she'll paint her face exactly as her friends do. Dress exactly as her friends tell her to, even though it may be very immodest. Going to the place of yielding the very purity of her body in order to please her friend, bound by fear. So the fear of man brings a snare. Let's look at this word snare. What is a snare? A trap. What else? Bottom line, what's a snare? Something grabs you. Could be a hook. Could be a trap. It's something that catches you unawares. Okay? The fear of man brings that snare. Okay? Again, we looked at what the cure of that snare is. What's the cure of the snare? Confidence of God. Whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. So the person who places all of his security in the Lord shall be safe. And that word safe carries the idea of strong, defended. It's like David said, Psalm 27:1, the Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this will I be confident. Hebrews 13:6, so that we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear what man shall do unto me. See, a bold Christian is one who fears God more than man. You know, there's freedom, there's confidence when a person has his relationship in God. Now let's turn it over. The opposite side of the coin, a timid, fearful Christian. You can take these six things I gave you as far as the characteristics of a bold Christian. What would the first and the opposite would be? A person who lacks boldness for the Lord. Number one is what? Characterized by one, if you take what you've already seen. No relationship with God. No personal, there it is. No personal relationship with Christ. Maybe because they're not born again. Maybe because it's all mental. Maybe because they say they had it shoved down their throat. No, that's not the reason. The reason is they've never embraced Christ. I mean, I thank God I had it shoved down my throat. They say, well, I've been brainwashed. Thank God my mother wanted to brainwash me with the Word of God. Brainwash means she wanted my mind pure and with pure motives and thoughts. Thank God for that. So that no personal relationship with Christ, therefore they lack a desire to stand for Christ. The Holy Spirit probably is not in their life. Comments? You say, what do you mean, the Holy Spirit? You mean that if I'm not bold, does that mean I'm not saved? No. When I say in your life, I mean expressed in your life. You're not walking in the Spirit. Or it could mean you're not saved. You don't know the Savior. That's why you've never been bold. You have nothing to say. You have no relationship with Christ to talk about. That's why you're just like a puppet. You're just like a robot. It's all duty. It's all rigid. But you find somebody that has a personal relationship with Christ, they can't keep their mouth shut. Amen? All right. What's the second reason a person's timid, fearful, bound by fear? What would you say would be the opposite? What is it? Defiled. Conscience. What else? Violated conscience. They've got a conscience that is not void of offense toward God and man. Acts 24:16. They're bound by issues with people and grudges and offenses. And, you know, you look at every step they take, they're ugly, spiritually ugly. So their children embrace that. Their children become ugly spiritually. Why? Well, violated conscience. They've never embraced Christ. Let's go to the third one. What's the third reason? Opposite of what we saw before, a person would be timid. What would you say it would be? Not accepting themselves the way God made them. Followers of other people. There it is. They've accepted the values of peers over the values of God. That's dangerous ground. When people tell you who you are and what you are and why you are. When people tell you their values for your appearance, your values for your abilities, your values for your parentage, your values for your life. When you take the opinion of people and place that over the view of God, you lose your value. You lose your boldness. Amen? Number four, what would be the opposite of what we looked at before? What's a timid Christian? A Christian racked by fear. What would you say? Just say it out loud. Me first. Me first? Yeah? What else? Self-love. Self-love, not God's love.
Love with strings attached.
There you go. Love with strings attached. Can you explain that?
Because
Opposite of agape. Agape is total giving, sacrificial love. So the opposite of that is, I'm going to love you if you do this for me. Pro quid pro. What's that? What's that? Quid pro. I'll do this for you if you do this for me. You ever heard that? That seems to be a catchword on the news right now. But they have that view, quid pro quo, in their Christian life. Whatever you say. Self-love, not God's love. They're more concerned about what people think than about what God thinks. Now, taking the next one. I talk about documentation. What's the opposite of documentation? Ignorance. Yeah. Ignorance. If you don't know what to say, you're not going to say anything. Well, no, I take that back. Sometimes people don't have much to say, do a lot of talking. And that's why God says, even a fool, when he holdeth his peace, is counted wise, and he that shuts his big fat mouth is esteemed a man of understanding. That's the Scott paraphrase. But, you know, God wants us to speak the truth in love. Paul says, pray for me that I may preach the word boldly as I ought. All right? He says the word of God, that the word of God may have free course. It's like when I speak truth, the word of God, it's like a domino effect. It just keeps running and running and running because God's word is so powerful. And so when we don't know God's word, we're ashamed. That's why God says, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needs not be ashamed. And it says, a workman, it takes hard work to know the word of God. Number 6, lack of faith. Lack of faith. You're not able or willing to do right and trust God with the results. That's why you won't talk to your family about Christ. You don't want to lose them as your friends. You coddle. I want them to love me. Shame on you. They'll spend eternity in hell because your lack of faith. Neighbors. Oh, I'm afraid they're going to think I'm a religious fanatic. Work. Oh, no. If I mention Christ at work, if I pray publicly, oh, no. What will people think? It's a lack of faith. You know, how does the gospel spread? How does the gospel spread? You take the New Testament church, how does it spread? Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the what? Word of God. By the way, that word is the word rhema, spoken word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the spoken word of God. People get saved when Christians speak the word of God. Oh, Matthew 5 says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, your lifestyle, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. So you put a combination of a great lifestyle, that walk with God, and a commitment to speak the word of God, you're going to see much fruit in your life and you're going to be a bold Christian. Now go back to Acts 4, look at verse 13. It says, now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men, they marveled. And they took knowledge of them that they had been with Jesus. Now, look at verse 14. And beholding the man which was healed standing with them, they could say nothing. Now go down to verse 17. But that it spread no further among the people. This is the leaders, the rulers saying, okay, we don't want this stuff to spread. Let us straightly threaten them. Let's threaten these disciples that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. So here's the issue. The issue was the leaders did not want the truth spread. They didn't want people to come to the realization that Jesus truly was the Messiah and that their religious leaders had murdered him. And these religious leaders knew that nearly 5,000, had put their trust in Jesus since a lame man was healed. They knew that. They also knew that Jesus had been recently crucified in their very region. And their fear was that the whole city would be converted to Christ. And they would be without a job. They'd be branded as heretics and murderers. So that's why they say here, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. Okay, no more witnessing. No more speaking about the power of Jesus. No more speaking about the authority of Jesus Christ. Don't speak anymore in this name. But, look at verse 19. Peter and John answered and said unto them, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, judge ye. Straightforward answer, right? No boldness around the bush, no beating around the bush, boldness. They openly gave their reply to the judges. He says, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken. So whether it be right in the sight of God. So the thing is, since God sees everything, the issue is whether or not God would be pleased with us if we keep our silence. That's the issue. It'd rather be right in the sight of God. To hearken to you more than to God, judge you, to do what you say or to do what God says. Hey, what do you guys think? You be the judges. I think this has to be one of the most important principles of the Christian life. Here it is. Pleasing God or pleasing man. Say that with me. Pleasing God or pleasing man. To me, that has to be one of the most important issues or principles in the Christian life. Am I going to please God or am I going to please man? It's not all about whether or not we'll go to prison. Disciples. It's about pleasing God. There are people, by the way, in Syria, Iran, all over the world right now, tonight, at this very moment, that are having their heads cut off for Christ, that are dying, young people, older people. I mean, there's movement, and I'm not saying this to scare tactics, but there's movements with the democratic platform that we have that shut down churches, shut down Christian schools, put a silence to Christians. There's movement there. And what do? We sit. Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. I'm afraid to tell people about it. Well, then you deserve to have your religious freedom taken away from you. You deserve that. Hey, it's not all about being accepted by the Sanhedrin. It's about our pleasing God. If it pleases God, then it's the right thing to do. That's what the apostles are saying. If it doesn't please God, then it's the wrong thing to do. So what about this? Let's ask some very tough questions. If the government tells us to do something that's in direct violation to the Word of God, what do? Obey the higher authority. Here it is, principle. We always obey the higher authority. I mean, you ask the Hebrew midwives in Exodus 1. They obeyed the higher authority. You ask the parents of Moses, what are you going to do? Obey the higher authority. Hebrews 11:23. Hey, Daniel, what are you going to do? I'm going to obey the higher authority. Watch God bring lockjaw to the lions. Hey, you Hebrew 3 young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, what are you going to do? We're not going to bow. We're not going to bend. And we're not going to burn. Hallelujah. Daniel 3. Galatians 1:10, for do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. If your whole passion in life is to please men, you cannot be a servant of Christ. Is not that what Galatians 1:10 says? God says that. Well, you go back to Acts 4, verse 20. Oh, I love this. The disciples, they say, for we cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. Hey, even if we wanted to, we couldn't keep our peace. Even if we wanted to, we can't keep our mouth shut about what Jesus has done. So verse 21, So when they had further threatened them, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. So they had the fear of men, the rulers. For all men glorified God for that which was done. The lame man was healed. Hey, they didn't let these men go because they're committed to justice. These religious leaders, these didn't let the disciples go because they wanted to do right. The reason they let them go was because of the people. It was clear to them that if they kept them in prison or killed them, they would be in danger. And they knew that to kill or persecute these men would mean the explosive growth of the church. What do they say? The blood of the martyrs is the seed of the church. When persecution comes to a Christian, that's when the gospel ought to grow. Hey, that's when the gospel does grow. I remember one man, a youth pastor. He took a group of young people to Chicago, young men. He said, you guys want to go with me to reach the inner city guys? Yeah, we're in. He's a bunch of bratty Christian school kids, guys. Cool dudes, you know. About an hour, about a mile away in the bus, he said, oh, by the way, let's stop. He said, these gang members rape and kill and murder these young men, and they are very quick to spot a hypocrite. Guess what those young men in the bus did? No, they didn't turn around. They got right with God. Because the world is quick to see a hypocrite. I've got stories. I remember going in a college student. I was traveling for my dad cross country moving machinery. And I brought a truck to a place and took a bus to meet him in Texas. And I came into the bus stop, and it was about 3 a.m. There was a soul winner. I think he was in Bible college. He was going to try to get the stripes, you know, tell everybody how he was witnessing for Christ. And he was in there, and I was sitting at the table. I just had some coffee, and God had really gotten hold of my heart. I was growing and wanting to be passionate and bold for the Lord, and not so much discreet, but I'm not so discreet now, but I remember this guy came up to this table of truck drivers. He was scared to death. He was doing his job. He had his tie, nice little white shirt and tie on. You know, I had a t-shirt and shorts, I think, and he's King James Bible. He said, if you guys were to die today, would you know if you go to heaven? The guy said, what? If you were to die today, would you know if you... I said, hey, he said, if you were to die today, would you know for sure you'd go to heaven? The guy looked at me. I said, tell him. He said, well, John 3:16, for God so loved... He said to you, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what he just told you. He said, well, the Bible says that if you receive... He said, if you just now receive... It was probably the most horrible experience that young man ever experienced, because somebody got in his face and said, you wimp. You spiritual wimp. I used to love going into restaurants with young people. I do this now with older people. Let's pray. No. I don't want to be obnoxious. Not all about me. But it's about these Christians that want to hide. We'd have teenagers want to hide under the table. Especially when Pastor Scott said, let's sing a song. And we got all these other people in this restaurant. Let's sing a song. Lead us. We'd sing. And teenagers. And then I'd say, well, you know, then I'd lead in prayer. Oh, Lord Jesus, thank you for your blood. Thank you that you say if we put our trust in you, we won't go to hell, but we'll go to heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And by the time I'm done, half of them had their heads down. They won't forget those days. Not that I was a great example, but I think I've grown up in my life despising wimpiness in Christians. I hate it. I hate it when it shows its head in my life. Amen? Let's get back in the Word. We'll wrap it up. So the characteristics of a bold Christian. Personal relationship with God. How's your personal relationship with God? Ephesians 3:12. How is it? Daily in the Word, is it just burning in you? You can't keep your mouth shut about what God's doing in your life? How about your conscience? You got all these people that you have ought against, and people say, well, you just need to make it right, and you're batting them over the head with that rod of pride. Proverbs talks about, shut up, don't tell me what to do. You do this, I'm going to walk out. You do this, I'm going to leave you. I'm going to pout. I'm going to, shame on you. Make it right. Get a clear conscience, void of offense toward God and man. Number 3, proper understanding of self. Understand when God made you, He didn't make junk. You understand that God loves you. He wants what's best for your life. That's why He sent His Son Jesus to die for your sins. He has only good intentions for you, not to make life miserable. So embrace that. And love people as you love yourself. And number 4, love. Proper agape love. There's no fear in love. Perfect love casts out fear. Documentation, that's big. Know the Word. I would say faith, number 6, involves prayer. How's your prayer life? You know, you pray for somebody long enough, you're not going to shut your mouth when it comes to talking about Jesus. Amen? This one writer said this. Said, I'm part of the fellowship of the unashamed. I've stepped over the line. The decision has been made. I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I won't look back. I won't let up. I won't slow down. I won't back away or be still. My past is redeemed. My future is secure. I'm finished and done with low living, small planning, smooth knees, colorless dreams, tamed visions, mundane talking, cheap living, and dwarf goals. He says, I no longer need preeminence. I no longer need prosperity or position or promotions or plaudits or popularity. I don't have to be right. I don't have to be first and tops and recognized and praised and rewarded or regarded. I now live by faith. I lean on His presence. I walk by patience. I live by prayer. I labor by His power. And He says, isn't this good? He says, my face is set. My gate is fast. My goal is heaven. My road is narrow. My way is rough. My companions few. My guide is reliable and my mission clear. I cannot be bought. I cannot be deluded. I cannot be delayed. I will not flinch in the face of sacrifice. I will not hesitate in the presence of adversity. I will not negotiate at the table of the enemy or meander in the maze of mediocrity. And then he says this, I won't give up, I won't shut up, I won't let up until I've stayed up, stored up, prayed up, paid up, preached up for the cause of Christ. I'm a disciple of Jesus. I must go till He comes, give till I drop, preach till all know, and work till He stops me. And when He comes for His own, He will have no problem recognizing me. Amen. Oh, praise the Lord. Let's pray. Father, thank You. Thank You for Your Word. Thank You that when You saved us for a mission. You saved us to speak. You saved us to live. You saved us to walk by faith, to be bold, passionate for You. You saved us for a mission. And that's to fulfill the Great Commission.